Hello and welcome to Goldie's Rugby Podcast. I'm Matt Gold, Director of Rugby at Abingdon School in Oxfordshire. And we are really fortunate to have on the show today Theo Brophy-Clues, current professional at London Irish, former England age grade player and Abingdon old boy. Thanks ever so much for coming on the show, Theo. This is our very first podcast, and we're going to be running a few podcasts over the next few weeks, which are looking at various themes, adaptability and resilience, and obviously with your background today as well, some nutrition. Now, Theo, thanks ever so much for joining us. How are you? How are you fit, safe and well?
Yeah, thank you very much for having me on. I'm excited to get into some good topics. And yeah, I'm all fit and well, isolating at home with my girlfriend and still training quite a lot. Luckily, I've got some access to the training pitches and some weights that they've given us from the club. So keeping fit and well and busy and actually enjoying this bit of time. And I'm in a pretty good, fortunate position. So it's been all good so far.
Yeah, so obviously being at London Irish and, you know, this season's a fantastic year as a club going back up into the Premiership and the big move to London. So, you know, just to start with on that, just tell us a little bit about the club and how it went and what the plans are going into the following year and particularly the current situation we're in.
As you said, it's been a great year for the club. I think we've come up from the Championship a couple of times before and obviously in my experience, And this year's been great. I can't remember where we were sitting in the table. I think we were kind of 7th or 8th maybe in the table before the season had to be put on pause. And I think considering where we've come from over the last few years, that's a really, really good start. We've had some big results as well. So I think everyone at the club, it's been a long-term thing trying to kind of be stable in the Premiership, but it was a great start to the season. Hopefully when it restarts, if it does restart the season, we'll keep that momentum going. But as you said as well, some pretty exciting times to be involved with London Irish. Also, a lot of investment going on into the Premiership at the moment. We're moving back to Brentford, back into London, where obviously the club is from. And I think it's just one of those exciting times to be involved with a club that's, obviously, I've kind of been there for almost 5 years now and experienced some pretty good times and also some pretty bad times in terms of personally and for the club, obviously being relegated twice in the last 4 years. So I think it's looking up, and we've got some results to show for our hard work, which is always nice. And so yeah, it's been a good season so far, and obviously some challenging times at the moment. But that's for everyone, and for rugby, rugby is an entertainment after all. So I think it's good that it's been cancelled so far, and that people are keeping safe, staying at home.
What lessons have the club learnt by going down and back up? You've been part of the sort of the two relegations, two promotions. What differences have you seen?
That's a tough question. I think it's obviously, there's been changes in coaching setup. There's been a lot of changing in the player group. I think it probably boils down to very, very small margins. Start with a very generic answer. I'll get on to something slightly more detailed in a sec. But I think there's times where we've come back up from the Premiership with a very young squad and a young coaching staff, and we've been very, very competitive, and we've played a lot of good rugby, but we lost by a very close amount of points quite a number of times. And whatever it is in terms of the mindset, it's probably one of those things you can't quite put your finger on. But I think it's the ability to win really tight games and win games that you've played well in. Because sometimes you'll rock up and you'll play amazingly, but it doesn't really matter unless you win. So we've had games where we've played really, really well and not won. Whereas this season, we've had some games that we've played really well in and won quite comfortably. And we've had some games that we've stuck into and got either a draw or a last minute win out of. And I think that comes from probably squad belief. It's such an intangible that it's funny that I play in a sport where it's still quite old school in a lot of respects, and there's a lot of intangibles like team spirit and morale and confidence. I think it takes time to build, and you're not sure what it is when it's not there, and then you still can't quite put your finger on it when you do have it. But I think at the moment we've found a way to win big games and then capitalize on when we've played well and been a bit more consistent, I think.
You're talking about that adversity and those small margins. Are there any particular situations, either, you know, as a team or maybe you look back on individually within that of the next last sort of year or so when you think, well, that was definitely a moment. That was a key, not just a key win, but I would be maybe looking a little bit more at the process and maybe the detail behind it. You mentioning that, you know, what if you were to pin a few or one particular moment, what was it? What was the difference, the change? You've talked about the coaching, but digging into the detail, can you think maybe of something straight away or maybe a couple of bits which you think, yeah, well, that was the moment. That was the key thing where the club started to change and really, really drive forward.
I think it's hard to speak. I think there's been a few players that have been longstanding at London Irish, and there's been a lot of movement. I think some of the players that they came in this season and the season before that, I think we've always had really, really, good quality people at London Irish. But I think there's been a slight change into being a bit more hard of ourselves and a bit expecting more of ourselves. I think potentially in the first two seasons I was there, we were a great group of players, a great bunch of lads, and everyone got on very well. But there wasn't really that kind of cutting edge discipline to the environment. So there's a few players on the Irish and a few coaches that have brought a real edge in terms of how we play. And it's kind of the brutal nature of rugby, is the fact that it's a very physical sport. So I'd say in pre-season this year, obviously there's been a lot of like rugby specific foundations built upon last year with a squad that is relatively similar to what it is now. But I think in pre-season this year, I think Brad Davies, our defence coach, I think Paddy Jackson and Steve have brought in, as well as Sean O'Brien, since he's been here as well, brought in a real edge in terms of how we play. And it starts from training in terms of the fact that we bring an edge to training, in terms of a mindset of when we're not really here to mess around or be good mates. When we're on the training pitch, when we're playing, we're here to get better and be hard on ourselves. So I think some of those people have led a really good attitude to improving as players, which is rolled into the games where we've done well, I think. It's hard to,
if I may.
Yeah, go on.
Go on, sorry.
I was going to say that it's hard to, it's obviously when you, obviously we haven't won anything yet and we're still not in a position where we're close to winning anything. So it's hard to look back and be like, this is the moment where it changed, because it's a culmination of a lot of experience, a lot of time. And even in a year's time, I might look back and be like, oh, no, that wasn't it. So I think at the moment, that's what I'd say anyway.
I understand. I mean, as a pupil at the school, looking at that and hearing about how you as a group of professionals, you said, look harder and pushed yourselves harder in training. You know, maybe as a boy at the school, I might think, well, that means I've got to be harder on my players around. What do you mean by that? Because it's not having a go, having a pop necessarily. It's encouraging at the same time, but being quite good at being able to take that criticism or that point on the chin at the time and move forward quickly. And I mean, what kind of structure, what sort of chat do you mean by that within training and post-training, you know, analysis, small conversations that go on during the session from the coaches? Can you give an example or some examples about how that might go?
Yeah, so I think from a squad point of view, we've worked hard over pre-season and a lot way through the season to understand what we expect of each other. So there's been a lot of sitting around in meeting rooms talking about what we expect from each other. And to give a really specific example, in defence, something that we'd spoken about is that we were going to stay in the tackle and drive our legs and win and end up on top. So that's come from a lot of different things of chatting. So because we all understand that that's what is expected of us, if we don't do that, then it's easy for other players to say you didn't finish on top or you didn't drive your legs. So I think, and that's across the board in terms of our attitude, our attack principles, our defense principles. So because it's well understood what we said we would do, when you don't do that, it's easy then to, not even in a really overcritical or really angry rage, to be like, that's not what we expect of each other. Or if someone says to me, you can do better, and I've just made a soft tackle, I know what it means. I don't think he's having a go at me because he thinks he's better than me. So I think that does preface a lot of the discipline chat and being hard on yourselves, because it's not just like, you're rubbish, that's not good enough. It's within a framework of, we understand what's expected of us. So I think from if you can, whatever team you're in or whatever group of players you're in, if you understand what's expected of you, it's easy to hold people accountable and hold teammates accountable. That's not from a place of thinking you're better than someone or hurting someone's feelings. And then I suppose on a kind of more personal level, I think it's important to know people really well around you, and that's knowing how they react to things, because it's easy to say you can change how the way you communicate to people in different ways. So I could be very specific to one person, or I could be very motivational to someone else. But actually, I think if you know a person really well, they trust you. And if you trust someone, you'll trust what they say. So if I know my teammate really well, even if I don't use the perfect type of communication for them, if there's trust between us and we know each other well, it's more often than not going to be better received, and then hopefully better actions. So it's not about being critical all the time. It's about setting out what people expect of each other. And if everyone agrees to that, then it's easier to hold each other accountable. And then being a good teammate and a good friend and a good person really helps that kind of interplay between, it kind of helps manage conflict. There's always going to be some conflict, and you can't always be perfect with how you say things. So I think that manages the conflict quite well.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. And what, for me, we were talking about being adaptable earlier. What sort of challenges have you been facing, just to give some of the listeners an understanding over the last couple of years? And you're talking about being adaptable, and, you know, particularly with adversity. And what's the last couple of years been like for you, and how have you managed to overcome certain challenges and maintain the positivity moving forward?
Yeah, it's been, you know what, I think I'm relatively well suited to this question, because my whole professional career has been very challenging and very up and down in the nature of both personally and from a club point of view. So I might start by saying, obviously, I played some age grade rugby at school. I had amazing coaches, and I came from a very privileged place. So my rugby journey up until I was 18 was, obviously I worked hard, and obviously I played well, but it was relatively straightforward. So in the last few years, I'll try and sum it up relatively quickly. I've torn very crucial and unusual ligaments in both my feet in the same tournament 1 year apart. That's at the under 20 World Cup. So my first two seasons, I tore my Lisfranc ligament in my foot, on both my right and my left foot, which entails two operations and 7 months of rehab each. I've been relegated twice, promoted twice for London Irish. I've had an 8 month layoff due to concussion, and I've just recovered from tearing my MCL. So I've had my fair share of ups and downs in the last few years. And that's just from a rugby point of view. Obviously, personally, people go through a lot of stuff. So we spoke about resilience and adaptability, and obviously they're kind of nice buzzwords and they are good traits. But as we spoke about before, that I feel something, obviously sport makes you a resilient person because of the nature of it, in terms of it's very quick, it's very cutthroat, especially professionally. But I feel resilience kind of just happens. I think if you put yourself in enough situations and you experience enough, and obviously I'm 23, so I've not experienced very much in terms of the grand scale of things. So I think resilience just happens to you. Something bad happens and you get on with it, and whether you deal with it badly or well, it just happens, you get on. So you're a bit more resilient because of it. And I think adaptability is a slightly more active process. And to relate that in terms of my journey, I think I've had to adapt positionally. So in the last 12 months, I've played more inside centre than I have at fly half, mainly because I haven't, in terms of a squad or kind of a general premiership level, been a good enough kicker. And I think that's obviously key for a fly half and someone who's going to be starting week in, week out. So I've been adapting in terms of both with my coaches, some of my mentors and my agents. I think there's obviously nothing set in stone. I've played both, but I'm kind of moving more towards an inside centre. And that's been adaptable. I think obviously I work hard on my goal kicking, but when you've got some people who are kicking at 90% and I wasn't at the time, I think you've got to realise where you can be most effective. So I think I've used that to, obviously I still play fly half and I still move around, but I think I've used that to develop a different skill set and play some more minutes. So that's a decent example of being adaptable. And I think, yeah, I mentioned it being a kind of active process. So I think it's worth mentioning that I try and reflect quite a lot on things that I've learned from, things that have happened, and people say learn from your mistakes, and then you go, okay, cool, I learned from my mistakes. But actually it's more of an active process where you need to spend some time setting yourself some goals and reviewing them on a weekly or daily basis so that you know what works and what doesn't. And then hopefully kind of day by day or week by week, you slowly improve. So I know that's quite a long-winded. Sorry, go on.
No. How does that work? Obviously, you're in a professional environment. That is your job. That's your role. And again, relating this back to boys in the school environment at Abingdon, but how would you suggest that the boys involved in sport in rugby at the school reflect, and what ways maybe either did you, what methods did you use, or would you maybe use if you, in hindsight, again, you mentioned at the time about, you know, you had a very successful schoolboy career and things, you know, it was when you became professional that there were real challenges that came your way. But, you know, what methods maybe are you using at Irish, and possibly what sort of methods could some of the boys in the school even start to think about using to reflect and become better?
So I think definitely conversation from people who are your coaches and your kind of current players to, like I mentioned earlier, kind of see where you're at in terms of skill development, in terms of personal development, your teachers, in terms of areas you might need to improve on at school. But I found kind of specifically, obviously, when I was at school, I had what for rugby and school, what was called an IDP or an individual development program, which was a combination of goal setting and processes that helped me complete those goals. And it's funny, it's so independent on what you like looking at stuff. But for me, it boils down to, as long as I find at the moment anyway, I've got a quite a good kind of journaling habit. And journaling, I suppose, kind of seems a bit wishy-washy or a bit whatever, I don't know. But I find it useful in terms of writing down my intentions for certain things and then reflecting on how well they go. So if you're at school, I'm trying to make it relatable to someone who's 18 or whatever. If your intention is to play for the first team, it could be looking like writing down in a book or whatever that your goal is to play for the first team. And then potentially underneath that, you could probably learn from people who are more are experts in behavior change and goal setting, but figuring out what behaviors will lead you to that. So if you just focus on playing for the first team and you really want to do that, you're more often than not going to miss out on the important stuff, which the kind of day-to-day behaviors of what it looks like to become a first team player. Things like, and we'll speak about later, but eating the right foods, recovering well, managing your time, putting in enough skill work, putting in enough physical work. So I think if you have a good habit of writing down goals, behaviors that lead you to those goals, and then reflecting on it in terms of how they went or how they didn't go, and trying to be as process driven as possible. So not always think about outcomes, but then if you have a process goal of, I don't know, I want to get a little bit bigger, a bit stronger, I want to go to the gym 5 times this week. And if you go 4 times, then you can reflect and be like, oh, why didn't I go 5 times? And then you can kind of go down that process of figuring out what worked, why it didn't work, and then refining your process to try and improve. And then those improvements will hopefully add up over time. Just to summarize that, I suppose it's a journaling thing of setting some goals and some behaviors and then reflecting on it, or why it was good or why it wasn't good. Is a good habit that I think I have at the moment that's helping me out quite a lot. That would be something that I do.
In terms of the positive, you know, adaptability and being positive in your mindset, that's really helped you, that reflecting process, and you're able to see the small steps that happen on a daily, weekly, and then longer term basis that can maybe help towards setting some longer term realistic goals. And particularly if you're coming back from an injury, or there might be a skill set that you're developing over a long period of time. You mentioned about your kicking, those processes really help.
Definitely. And they're definitely more useful in terms of not only improving the absolute skill, but how you relate to it, and in terms of a mental way, how you develop. Because if something is all or nothing and you fail, in your head that you fail, you're like, oh, what's the point? There's no point in trying. I don't want to try the next thing. Whereas if it's on a more micro scale and a more process scale, you're not afraid of trying something because you know it's a learning up and down process. And that's easy to say. And I suppose that I struggle with some perfectionist tendencies, but I think being really process driven in terms of breaking down what you want to do into some easy steps, it's easy to take the first step. And if you fall over, it's easy to take the next step and easy to take the next step. And yeah, I think they'll lead to some overall improvements. And it makes it a less of an all or nothing mindset, I think.
And you mentioned, you know, obviously about nutrition. I'm not sure many people really realize at the moment how you've moved into the professional game, and also as well are just finishing completing your nutrition course. And I just wondered whether you wanted to give a bit of information about that and where that came from, you know, the motivation behind that, and then what you've been doing, how you've been completing it, because it's really exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, I think ever since I left school, I've been playing professionally, the RPA, which are our player union, and my academy coaches, who then became my first team coaches, and my current first team coach, have all emphasized education outside of rugby, because rugby is such a short term, it can change, it can end quickly through injury or selection. It's always good to be adding things, adding skill sets that would help you after rugby, or help you during rugby, that kind of make you a better person and a better player. So I've done a degree in leadership and management alongside rugby. It's worth mentioning that in my first year, I started a degree in economics and then pulled out after about 6 months. And then the year after, started the leadership and management degree. And then after that finished, my S&C coach at the time asked me and one of the other players at London Irish to continue. We were into our nutrition in terms of we'd worked with him a lot about our nutrition. We didn't obviously know loads, but we'd had a good kind of first-hand experience of trying to improve our nutrition for rugby through him. So he'd asked us to kind of build a recipe sharing platform for just the people of London Irish. So we had a private Instagram page where me and Harry would share recipes, and so the other players could see them and hopefully cook some more meals and improve the kind of squad's nutrition through that way. And me and Harry loved doing it. And the idea was that everyone would start sharing recipes. But after 3 months, I think me and Harry had shared kind of 90% of the recipes, but we'd really enjoyed doing it and we'd be putting some time into it. And so me and Harry lived together at the time and decided to set up a kind of a private page that Harry's girlfriend, Molly, came up with an idea called Rugby Grub, obviously food for rugby. And we were just sharing some recipes that had some information that we had learned mainly from Andre Quinn, who was our S&C coach at the time. And obviously me and Harry had been rugby players for a couple of years at this point. So we'd spoken to nutritionists, we'd had interactions with a nutritionist through age grade or university or whatever. So we were kind of learning a decent bit about nutrition. So we decided to start Rugby Grub, which is just an Instagram page, and basically share some recipes and some nutrition information based around rugby. And then we kind of turned onto a course called Mac Nutrition University, run by Martin McDonald, who is a leading expert in the field of nutrition. And it's an evidence-based nutrition course that runs every year. So me and Harry just finished that. And we basically did that to kind of support our kind of growing desires for Rugby Grub as a page and as a business, to help improve our knowledge, obviously, for our rugby. If we obviously knew more about it, we could improve ourselves. I think from a lifestyle point of view, it was something that I wanted to study alongside rugby and is suited in terms of time management. So we've both just finished our exams, and that's kind of the background into nutrition.
So what are those sites again? Those on the social media for our listeners, our boys to have a look at?
So on Instagram and YouTube, it's at Rugby Grub. And that's where we basically, it's kind of, it's it's pretty much, it started off with being a kind of diary, I guess, of what we ate for performance. And now we're kind of, we're sharing a lot more nutrition information specific to rugby, but mainly specific to people who are doing sports, who are active. There's loads and loads of recipes on there because we kind of think if you can kind of learn to cook and learn to find recipes that you like, it's easier to improve your nutrition that way than trying to hit numbers and things like that. So it's kind of a, so if you want to check that out or improve or learn some stuff on how to cook or learn some more nutritional things, check it out. We're quite proud of it, and it's quite, yeah, it's a nice little side project alongside the rugby for us.
Oh, it's fantastic. Really exciting. Really cool. And I mean, we hark on at school with the teachers about nutrition, about eating well all the time, but maybe perhaps you could just give us a little bit of an insight here into maybe some of the lessons you've learned with the nutrition and maybe over the years, not just from being at school and comparing it to now, but maybe just some of the points with regards to recovery or match day. I mean, it's interesting. We've got obviously a fantastic canteen at school where we're really blessed really with lots of nice food for the boys. But, you know, what messages, what stories have you got from and what messages and stories have you got for the boys to listen and learn to?
Yeah, it's funny. Like I said, trying to compare it from when I was at school and I used to be going to, I mean, apart from eating the canteen, which is amazing, especially when I was in sixth form and obviously allowed into town whenever I wanted, I was eating a lot of meal deals and a lot of Greggs. And I suppose that's definitely not the right thing to do. Obviously, it's funny. You can't be too obsessive with it. Especially when you're young, I think the best thing to do is focus on getting into good, healthy habits with eating. And so for me, from a rugby point of view, if I was going to say anything to the boys who are playing now, calories are the most important thing for sports performance. And it doesn't mean eating loads and loads and loads, but it means that you've got to have adequate energy to fuel your performance. And obviously the boys are at school, so they're playing rugby. They're getting lessons, they're studying for exams. They've got a lot on their plate. And fueling yourself with enough calories so you can continue to grow and perform well is really important. So I'd say to the guys listening, don't get too obsessed about macronutrients, so kind of protein, carbs and fats. Mainly worry about having an adequate energy intake. And that looks like for obviously younger guys kind of gaining weight slowly, not gaining too much excess body fat, but making sure they're not underfueled so they're not going to get injured or struggle with fatigue. And the second thing would be something that I'm kind of almost only learning just now about having a good quality diet will improve your life much more than just getting a wise amount of protein or carbohydrate. For a long time, obviously, you've definitely got to have enough protein, and having good quality protein is going to help you recover, build new muscle, play well. And also carbohydrate is going to help fuel you for games and training. And fat's really essential for overall health and recovery. So those things are obviously important, but eating as little processed food as possible, as many fruit and veg as possible, and some good quality meat, fish, and dairy. It sounds so generic, but having a good variety in the things you eat, not just obviously the colors of your plate, having a variety of colors is really good, but obviously having a variety of different sources of meat, different sources of fish, different sources of carbohydrate, having that kind of overall quality will kind of improve their performance as well as their kind of day-to-day life. That's me, I'm kind of learning. I've been obsessed with macro splits and enough protein for the last few years, so hopefully that's kind of actionable for people listening.
Yeah, interesting. You mentioned about the rugby, and then you obviously mentioned just about the quality of life with this, and you mentioned earlier with being adaptable, coming up, you know, making yourself a better person. A lot of the things you're talking about obviously are rugby related, but it's about being a, you know, fitter, healthier, more energetic, being able to adapt to the day, to the demands, particularly of lessons and of sports. And with your professional career at the moment, you know, give us an insight into what your day's like with regards to nutrition. You know, an average day in the week, you know, Saturday to Saturday game, you've got training, let's pick a Tuesday. You know, what does that look like regarding your nutrition for the day?
Yeah, just quickly before I go into it, I think it's worth mentioning you said about quality of life. And it's something that actually I learned in school. And I remember David Wicks, who was the deputy head and rugby coach at the time, who was massive in my development. He said to me, being a good person will make you a better rugby player. And because I was someone who didn't focus on school as much as I possibly could have. And he really drilled the message into me that being a good person in terms of studying well, being a good friend, a good son, will make me a better rugby player. And I truly believe that. So that's worth mentioning for the guys who are obviously trying to progress their rugby career. And then on a normal day, obviously, so Tuesday, if we're playing on Saturday, is our main training day, where we'd have a high intensity session, training session between 90 minutes and 2 hours, and about an hour's kind of typically lower body gym session. So it's quite a hard day. So it would probably look like, for me, I spoke about having enough energy. For someone who's my weight and position, that would look like about 4,000 calories. So that's quite a lot of food. And it's important for both performance and recovery to make sure you're eating enough calories. So that's what that would look like. And then for me, I think a good guideline is about kind of, for me, I'd be quite specific about it. But for someone at a younger age, I'm looking for about 2 grams of protein per kilo body weight overall. So for me, it's about around 200 grams of protein, ideally spaced. You would usually have one in the morning, one after my gym session and before my main session, a big serving of protein after my main training session, and then two more throughout the rest of the day. So trying to spread that protein evenly. And then it looks like eating a lot of carbohydrate in the morning before my sessions and before my training sessions, and then immediately after my main training session to help recovery. So, and then, like I mentioned about trying to have a good variety of food, obviously you're trying to have as much fruit and veg as possible. So for me, someone who actually self-confessed really hates vegetables, for me, I basically put fruit and veg into all my meals and find a way. So I put frozen spinach and peas when I'm making big pasta dishes. The only vegetable I do really like eating is broccoli. So I eat a lot of broccoli if I'm just having meat or whatever. Having fruit smoothies, putting fruit in smoothies with some protein and some milk is a good way to get some fruit in. And so that kind of is roughly what it looks like for me. It's kind of eating enough calories, adequate protein so I can recover, and then carbohydrate to fuel my training. And if anyone wants to know exactly what it looks like, I've done a number of kind of what it looks like a day of eating on Rugby Grub. So some kind of more visual, whatever, you go check that out. Because it's kind of hard to explain exactly the meals I eat, but that's kind of how I think about it anyway.
You mentioned recovery. You know, again, as a young lad in the school, you know, a lot of them do like to go to the gym. A lot of them want to go as much as possible. And we have to ensure that the programs are set and the times are in line with their age group, you know, and their progression and their exercises. But in terms of recovery and where you're at, what does the recovery look like for you? And maybe how could you relate that to school, and what was your process like back then, and maybe how could it have been different?
I'm trying to think of what I used to eat after gym sessions. And I think it was unknowingly relatively good for me. So the key things, obviously, for building new muscle is, like you said, adequate kind of strength training or resistance training. So the guys are lucky, they've got a great gym at the school. So they'll be doing their work there. And then after, it's basically having some protein and some carbohydrate. And for protein, it's kind of looking around 20 grams, which is a small chicken breast. I'm not sure what it is in milk, but basically having enough protein, some carbohydrate, and something that's going to hydrate them as well, or rehydrate them. And so that kind of boils down to really nicely is chocolate milk. Chocolate milk has all those things in it. So it's got a good amount of protein, good amount of carbs. It hydrates you well. It's got some sodium in it for that as well. So obviously having a whole food approach and not relying on supplements is important, especially when you're young. So chocolate milk is a good recovery drink after a gym session that has all those things. So as complicated as you want to get, chocolate milk is pretty much the answer.
I mean, you were mentioning with London Irish, how have they accommodated, supported you at the moment regarding the, you know, not just nutrition but your strength and conditioning? You know, how has that worked, and how is that happening?
Well, it's slightly complicated at the moment because obviously very topical. I think furloughing is going on across the country and different things. So there's only so much they can do. The coaches are allowed to do with us at the moment. Obviously not trying to do much from a legal standpoint, I guess. But we've obviously got good relationships with ISSC coaches and our physios, and we've got a nutritionist at the club. So there is some very kind of personalized one-to-one support. I think obviously a lot of people have a pretty good idea of the right things to eat. And it's mainly at the moment, obviously we're doing a lot less, even if you are training. So reducing the amount you're eating, if you're not trying to put on, if you're trying to kind of retain some muscle mass and not put on too much fat mass. But Irish have been awesome, really. They've given us out. Obviously we've got a great gym at the club, so they've distributed for the people who are nearby all the gym equipment. So I've got a barbell, load of weights, and some programs for my conditioner. And from a training point of view, they sent us out a load of different running sessions so we can still stay fit. And obviously on a one-to-one basis, I kind of speak to my physio and my SSC coach on how much and kind of what things I need to do. So from that standpoint, I'm pretty kind of set and pretty lucky that I've got that kind of support. And then from a nutritional standpoint, like I said, we've got a nutritionist at the club, so he's been doing kind of one-on-ones. But yeah, the kind of key message is obviously fuel as required. So obviously if you're having a really high intensity day with running or lifting or just doing lots of stuff, eat a bit more. And then for days when you're not doing as much, kind of rein back that kind of the amount you're eating. So it's pretty simple stuff, but it's kind of relatable on all levels, whether you're at school and you're obviously not doing too much at the moment, or if you're an athlete who's sitting on their ass not doing too much.
And are you okay? You're able to get food all right? You know, you're able to go and get food or get deliveries in? That's okay where you are?
Yeah. So like I said, we're pretty lucky. It's just the two of us in the house. So we're all good to go out, and obviously everyone going out and getting food, maintaining the proper government guidelines. But London Irish are actually doing it's worth mentioning, it's called At Powering the NHS. They're doing an amazing initiative. So the club chef in the club kitchen are making about 1,000 meals a day for NHS workers in the area. And then they're basically getting a load of the staff and players are kind of volunteering their time to deliver that food to the NHS workers. So that's been something awesome that London Irish and Power Day are doing. So I've been doing that a few days a week as well, and then helping out with the kind of the local area, doing some food deliveries to those in need. So it's I said before, and I think and some other people are in very lucky situations where we're not too affected. But obviously I think it's important to look out for some people who can't go out and shop. My mum has been by the government kind of enforced to stay inside for at least 12 weeks, which is pretty tough. So I think you've got to make the most of if you can, but being sensible. And then obviously if you can help other people out, I think it's a good thing to do. But if you can't, staying at home is probably as much as you can do, which is also a good thing. So yeah, I'm in a pretty lucky situation. Just like I mentioned earlier, it's actually been a not too bad period for me.
And with you know, your nutrition degree and your course, what's the where are you looking at going then after this with it? I mean, with that side of things now covered, you know, well done on doing your exam today. What is your goal? What's your aim?
Hopefully pass my exams for a start. I think we get the results back in about 3 weeks. So that's the main thing. But I think, like I mentioned, obviously I've always been pushed to do things outside of rugby. So me and Harry are always kind of trying to be, and there's so many good businesses that have been started from rugby players. Obviously rugby players are blessed with a bit of time a lot of people have played very well, but considering how much we do and what we do in terms of we play rugby, everyone's pretty fortunate. So a lot of people start businesses alongside rugby. So we're basically looking to move into kind of some online, particularly nutrition coaching. And we want to use our experience as players and kind of, I suppose I'm doing this in inverted commas, saying elite athletes. Because I sometimes look at myself and I don't think I'm quite an elite athlete, but taking that kind of that mindset into kind of everyday nutrition coaching, whether it be for people who want to improve their performance in sport or people who just want to lose some weight or gain some muscle. So we're kind of building our online business in terms of doing some nutrition coaching. So that's kind of the rough plan with that. obviously there's little avenues that we like going off. So we wrote an ebook a little while ago. And so we're basically looking into doing some online coaching, but it's kind of day by day at the moment in terms of, like I said, passing our exams for the first thing so we're qualified and insured. So that's the kind of goal, really. I think me and Harry obviously are both lucky, and we've had such good support from nutrition, both at school and in our professional careers. So we kind of, we wanted to deliver some of those lessons that we've learned and some good solid basis of nutrition and help people. Because like we mentioned, in terms of when you're at school, it can do so much more than just make you a good rugby player. It makes you healthy, fit. It can help you have good energy. So you're a good brother or a good sister or something like that. So I think we think it's something that's worth investing a bit of time in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, fantastic. I mean, you were talking about, the future a little bit, and we mentioned earlier about London Irish and next season, whether this, what's going to happen there, and what are your hopes for next season for yourself? Where are your thoughts at the moment?
Yeah, I think on a personal level, I'd like to play in the Premiership again. I actually haven't played any Premiership rugby this season, partly because of injury, partly because of selection. I've played some other different games. I've played in the Premiership Cup and European games. But I think I just want to get back to being a regular Premiership player. I think it's been an aspiration for mine for a long time. And like I mentioned earlier, my career has been a little bit up and down in terms of both fitness and selection and where the club is. So I think it's a great opportunity for me to try and to push and assert myself as a starter again. So that's kind
of... Everyone must be excited about going back into London as well with the new stadium, and there must be a great anticipation.
Yeah, I tell you, I think, like I said, there's times where you think you'll look back and you'll be like, it's a special time. And I think right now, obviously, hopefully once the world is healthy and in a good place again, I think it's going to be a really exciting time. I think hopefully we'll get some bigger crowds in. That's going to help the business grow. And I think that will, some success we've already started building this season. I think it could be a really good time, both personally and for the club. And it's a club that I hold pretty dear to me, and there's a lot of good people in it, especially the owner, and some people who have been with it. So I think it's a good time to be involved with London. So I'm excited to be back in town and hopefully developing the club for the future.
Absolutely, absolutely. I did wonder whether you might want to look back on the school and just talk about a few fond memories of your school time. Doesn't have to be rugby related, could be as well. Maybe mentioning, obviously coming through, some of the listeners will know, but that you've come through from lower school all the way up through into the senior school at Abingdon, and then moved into the professional world. And from a rugby point of view, obviously excelled at school and played in the England age grades and captained the teams as well, which is absolutely incredible. But yeah, just wondered whether there are a few memories or a few things that you wouldn't mind sharing with the viewers. Keep them UPG related. But,
I tell you what, I think, and you look back at it, like I said, I've still got a great group of mates from school. And just like, I think messing around in between lessons and in free periods when you're a bit older, some of my still really good mates, I think I look back at those memories and hold them very dearly. I think generally some of the changing rooms after rugby games are pretty awesome, especially when we've all got some plans after. It's kind of a time when you're in such a bubble that is so like fun and protected and nice. So I'd say some changing rooms after rugby games when we're old enough to have a couple of beers after the game. I think that's such an awesome time, obviously, when you're growing up a little bit. So I'd say that. I'd say some school trips. We're incredibly lucky to go on some awesome school trips and tours, especially with the rugby team. So some of the rugby tours, mine was to South Africa and Namibia. And some of those memories are still unreal. I still bump into every now and again. So some boys in the year below me, obviously we're kind of like, we know each other, we're decent mates, but we're not that close. I suppose we don't see each other at the time. So still bumped into so a couple of them on New Year's, and I remember chatting about some of the memories from our tour, which was pretty awesome. So those tours were pretty fun memories. And then obviously I think we're in a lucky position that the school is such a nice place to be. So kind of just going through our exams and growing up in such a nice place with so many great teachers and so many kind of like fun memories. I'd probably say getting to know the teachers a bit better as you get older. Obviously, you didn't teach me, but I think when you get a bit older, you can kind of learn to see the teachers as they're obviously definitely above you and you should do what they tell you to. But it's nice getting to know these people when you're on either a tour or away or just generally with school. So I'd say there's a couple for me of some good things I remember from school. But yeah, it was
favorite awesome. Rugby memory?
Pardon?
Favorite rugby memory?
Favorite rugby memory? My favorite rugby memory was winning my last ever game on Waste Court against Marlborough. My last ever game for the first team, and it was the single worst game of rugby I've ever played in my life. I gave away 2 interception tries, a charge down try. A try resulted from a penalty I gave away from swearing at the ref. But I managed to, I think the boys fought pretty hard to cover my back and we ended up in a pretty close place. And it's probably one of the few times in my career, like I said, my rugby playing days, that I actually got a kick to win the game in the last few minutes. And that was pretty special, I think. Just playing with that group of boys. We weren't the most successful school team there's ever been. And we played some pretty rubbish games, but that was a pretty special memory. I especially remember having an argument with Tom Best, who's still one of my best mates, about whether I should take the kick a goal or not. And he was shouting at me, having this argument. So I just told the ref and told him to F off. So that's quite a special memory. So yeah, that was pretty, but Waste Court is such a cool place and I love going back and watching the boys play, playing the pink and white. Still my favourite kit I've ever worn.
Awesome. Absolutely brilliant. Oh, fantastic. And any messages for the boys? Obviously challenging times at the moment for everyone. But any messages from you to the guys at school and to the Abingdon community?
I think it's such a, I actually think it's such a good time. As long as you're healthy and safe, it's such a good time to kind of learn a bit about yourself. Obviously, normally we've got so many distractions and so many things you can kind of pile into. But it's a good time to learn about yourself and kind of just reflect on the things that you like doing and the people who are special to you. And then give yourself a bit of a rest in terms of, obviously, a lot of people have very intense lives. I think learning to relax and learning to have some fun with, either if it's on a Skype call or if it's with your family around, you're playing some board games. Just taking a bit of time to appreciate what you've got. Because I know when you've got a normal life, it's easy to kind of rush around and wanting to be better at rugby and be better at school. But it's a nice time to kind of teach yourself to appreciate the living room that you've got to sit in for 10 hours a day, or the people that you get to spend time with. So I think it's quite a nice time for that. And then if you do want to learn some new skills, I think it's a good time to, you've obviously got more time on your hands to learn some stuff that I think you might not get a chance to if you're at school, learn some skills that might make you a better person kind of in the long run rather than just learning chemistry or something. So yeah, that's a little bit of advice from a very naive person. So well, that's what I'm trying to do at the moment anyway, but hopefully, like you said at the start, everyone's safe and happy and doing as best as they can.
Well, look, you know, I've talked about safe and happy and thanking everyone. I think it takes an opportunity to thank all the key workers and particularly the NHS staff at the moment. They're doing an incredible job. And, you know, so thanks everyone who's committed to that and keeping us safe. And, you know, once again, I just want to say, Theo, thanks ever so much for coming on the show and making it's really interesting to listen about how you've moved, developed, what you're doing at the moment, and particularly the nutrition side of things and where that might go. And we wish you personally and London Irish the very best of luck moving forward.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having me on. Hopefully I didn't ramble too much, and hopefully everyone listening found something useful. But yeah, cheers for that. It was good to chat as well.
No problem. Well, thanks very much. Well, that concludes the podcast for the day. Thanks so much, and we'll see you next time.